Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Sometimes you can be waiting around for a clear confirmation and you're going to wait forever because it's not coming. What has to take place at that point is faith has to be activated and we have to go by faith on what we've got. So I've got an inclination, I've got an enabling, I got an opportunity, I'm looking for a confirmation and I'm not seeming to get it, but you know, at some point, sometimes you just have to go, okay, well, I'm just taking this step of faith.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, in a message titled, The Perfect Will of God. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
God is never going to call you to do something personally that His written word, that His revealed will in the Scriptures prohibits. So the Scriptures say, for example, just say in relationship to marriage, that we're not to be, the Scriptures say generally that we're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And then, of course, that would have application in marriage. So if you ever come to a place where you feel like, well, you know, I know this person isn't a believer, but I just really think it's God's will that I marry them anyway. Wrong. No. You see, because you would then be making the mistake of thinking that God's personal will for you is something that contradicts His revealed will. And that's never going to be the case. It's always going to be in harmony with the general will of God. So, here's the big question. How do I discover the personal will of God? How do I know? And maybe you would even say to me, those things that you just mentioned, I have thought about and wrestled with those things, and I still am uncertain about what God's will is in regard to some of those particular things. Well, hopefully, as we go on, that will get cleared up for you to some extent. But here's the question. How do we know what God's will is for us personally? Assuming that we're taking care of the general will, how do we know what God wants us to do? Well, there are things that I would call pointers toward the will of God. There are certain things that God is going to use to point us in the direction of His will. And the first thing is inclination. Inclination. You know what that means, right? You have an inclination towards something. You have, there's a desire there, and it's more than just a passing desire, but it's a desire that's causing you to be inclined to go in a certain direction. So God gives us an inclination toward the things that He is wanting to lead us into, those things that fall into the category of His personal will. I love the passage in Philippians where Paul tells us that it is God who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So God works in us. And God puts in us the will to do the thing that He wants us to do. So we have a God-given inclination towards something. You just feel like, you know, I want to do that. I just feel like that's the direction that I'm supposed to move in. And I would say along with the inclination, there would also be an enabling. There would be an enabling. Now, not everything we want to do is necessarily God's will for us to do. You know, we might want to do something that It just simply goes beyond the call that God has for us. I might want to be the most famous preacher that ever lived, but that, although that, you know, could be a good thing to aspire to, it might not be what God has called me to. So, you know, recognize that. It is possible to want to do something, but that's not necessarily what God has called you to do. And one of the ways that you'll know, or at least have a better indication that God is calling you to that, is that there is an enabling that comes along with it. So it's not simply a desire or even an inclination, but there's an enabling. There's an ability that has been given to you. So you have a gifting in a particular area. And so let's just say with, education, for example. Some people that are just, you know, they're gifted academically. And they have an inclination to go in that direction, and they have a gifting, an enabling. And this is perhaps a good indicator that this is the direction that they ought to go in. And of course, when you look at vocation, there's going to be an inclination toward a certain vocation, and there's going to be an enabling, a gifting, an ability to do that thing that you're having the desire, the inclination to do. And this is true all the way across the board. With marriage, you know, this is like a question that you should never have to ask two people, but quite often I find that I do have to ask them this question. People come in and say, well, we're thinking about maybe maybe we should get married, but we don't know if it's the will of God. How do we know if God wants us to be married? You know, the first question I ask them, do you love each other? Well, I don't know. We didn't think about that. Well, and somehow we get to thinking foolishly that God's going to call us to get married to somebody without the primary ingredient of love. I've heard people say, well, you know, I didn't really love them, but I just knew it was God's will to marry them. So that's why we got married, and that's why we finally got divorced as well. You know, come on. No, there's going to be an inclination. You're going to love that person. You're going to enjoy being with them. It's, you know, sometimes we end up over-spiritualizing things. And the way God brings people together in his will is he causes them to fall in love with each other. That's one of the methods that he uses, the primary method, really. And so, again, with whatever the case might be, ministry, many examples that I could give there, but you get the point. So inclination and enabling. Secondly, opportunity. Opportunity. Along with the inclination and the enabling, God brings about opportunities to move in that direction. So if there's no opportunity, then it doesn't necessarily mean it's not God's will. It probably means it's just not God's will yet for you to move specifically in that direction.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website, and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
But if the inclination is there and the enabling is there, then you want to wait for the opportunity. But when the opportunity arises, if you've got this combination of inclination, enabling, and opportunity, then you can build a pretty good case that, well, it just seems like this is the Lord. Because the opportunity is there. Now, let me say this. This kind of throws a bit of a wrench in it. Sometimes the opportunity alone is the thing that God uses. There is not an inclination necessarily. But the opportunity arises and somehow you sort of get pushed into it, and then you find that there's an enabling, and then ultimately it kind of goes backwards. You finally end up with a desire. I've had that happen in my life at times. I didn't necessarily have an inclination to go in a certain direction or to do a certain type of ministry. I wasn't really given an option. It was just simply, this is what you have to do. And so because I find myself in the midst of this opportunity, you just start to do what you can do. And then as time goes on, you realize, wow, you know, the Lord's in this. And you sense his enabling. And then you really begin to, you know, have a passion for that. But inclination, enabling, opportunity. And then, thirdly, confirmation. Confirmation. So we've got the inclination, we've got the enabling, the opportunity comes, but still, quite often, we're looking for confirmation. We're wanting that final thing that's just going to seal it for us. And just, okay, Lord, I just need that one final word. And then, you know, then I can confidently move in that direction. Now, before I even get into confirmation, let me say that sometimes a clear confirmation doesn't come. And sometimes you can be waiting around for a clear confirmation and you're going to wait forever because it's not coming. What has to take place at that point is faith has to be activated. And we have to go by faith on what we've got. So I've got an inclination, I've got an enabling, I got an opportunity, I'm looking for a confirmation and I'm not seeming to get it, but you know, at some point, sometimes you just have to go, okay, well, I'm just taking this step of faith. But let's talk a little bit more about confirmation for a moment. So confirmation. We're looking first and foremost, I think, for scriptural confirmation. I'm looking for the Lord to confirm to me through his word that this is the thing. This is what he has for me. So as I'm reading my Bible, I'm looking for that scriptural confirmation. It doesn't necessarily only happen while I'm reading my Bible. It could happen as I'm listening to the word being expounded. So I come into the Bible study. I've got this thing that's weighing me down. I've been praying about it and I'm wondering. And, you know, those other components are there, but I'm still not sure. And, oh, Lord, I just need some confirmation. And in the course of the message that's delivered by the person sharing the word, boom, there's a word that comes, and it comes unmistakably to you, and you feel like you're the only one sitting in the building, and you're just like, man, thank you, Lord. That is what I needed. God spoke to you. He gave you confirmation. That's what we long for. I long for that kind of clear confirmation. I want to be able to point back to the scripture and say, these verses right here are the verses that God used to launch me into this. Or that message that person gave, that was the word of the Lord to me. So we look for that. Confirmation, scriptural confirmation, first of all. Secondly, we would look for confirmation through unbiased godly counsel. And I say unbiased because godly people can sometimes give you bad counsel because they have a bias. So you want to the best of your ability, make sure that the person you're looking for the counsel from is going to give you unbiased counsel. That they don't have necessarily a stake in the situation. Because the godliest people at times can be biased. You come and you tell them, you know, I feel like the Lord is wanting me to do this. Now, I'll just give you a quick example, a current example. My youngest son came to me and he said, Dad, I feel like the Lord wants me to move to England. Now, my bias is, I don't want you to do that necessarily because I'm going to miss you and I love you and you're going to be far away and, you know, all of those kinds of things. So it's very difficult for me to give him an unbiased perspective on what God's will is in this, except I think I'm able to do it simply because I know better than to interject my bias. Because I've had that done to me before, and I don't want to do that to other people, and I recognize that God calls us all to make sacrifices, and so forth. But, you know, I would have a heavy temptation to say, well, you know, son, I understand that, and that, you know, that sounds great, but listen, I think that maybe the Lord has something else for you closer to home. So you see what I'm saying? You know, we can have a tendency to be biased at times. So we want to seek out, to the best of our ability, unbiased, godly counsel. Somebody that's just going to say, let's look at the circumstances, let's look at the scriptures, and just from my experience and all, this is what it seems like the Lord might be saying. So we look for that, unbiased, godly counsel. And then circumstances. Circumstances can many times be the thing that God uses to give us the confirmation that we are in his will. And listen, the circumstances can be favorable, but not necessarily. Sometimes unfavorable circumstances will be the very thing that ends up planting us in the center of God's will. See, we tend to think that if we're in God's will, everything's got to be favorable. Everything's got to be, you know, perfect. All of the ducks have to be in a row. We have to feel this great peace about it. You know, not necessarily. It's possible to be right in the center of God's will and to be in a storm at the same time. It's possible to be right in the center of God's will and to be in circumstances that are less than favorable. I've just been reading again the life of David. And here's David. He's a man who's in the center of God's will, but he's in the center of a storm for years as well. But God's placed him there. So, confirmation. Scriptural confirmation, unbiased godly counsel, circumstances. These are all of the things that God will use to point us in the direction of his will. Years and years ago, I was desperately needing a word from the Lord. It's one of those seasons in my life where I just was so desperate to hear the Lord speak to me. And Cheryl and I had gone with Chuck and Kay to Hawaii. And we were there, and I was going through a very difficult time physically. And, you know, I was seeking clarity on God's will. And I remember going to the service on that particular Sunday that we were there, and Pastor Chuck was teaching. And I was just so longing for a word. I desperately needed God speak to me. I need to get clarity. I need to, you know, about his will. And I remember when we got to the church and Pastor Chuck got up to speak and he announced the title of his message. And, you know, it was a message that I'd heard him give before, and it was a good message. But I immediately thought to myself, oh, that's not the message I need. Oh, darn. You know? And I just sat there kind of disappointed, and, you know, he began to teach. But, you know, about halfway through that message, it was one of those times when I felt like I was the only one in the room, and God was speaking so clearly to me, and he was laying out the future plan in a very personal way, but then in a sense, generally, he was laying out the future plan for my life. And essentially it was this: you're going to walk by faith. You're going to live by faith. You're going to do things that you never dreamed you would do, and you're going to do them under circumstances that you don't necessarily want to do them under, things like that. But I knew that I knew when I left that service that day that God had spoken to me and that I had clarity on his will. And so there's that confirmation. So once again, inclination and enabling, opportunity, confirmation, scriptural, unbiased, godly counsel, and circumstances, favorable or sometimes even unfavorable. Now, as I said a moment ago, and let me go back to this again for just a moment. There comes a point in which, in order to get into the center of God's personal will, what we're talking about here as the perfect will of God, there's always the necessity of faith. You see, because here's the reality: God does not give us ever 100% of the picture. He doesn't give us 100% assurance. It's just not the way God operates. He gives us enough to activate our faith and to have us move on the basis of faith. Now, when we are put in a position to have to make a decision based on, you know, something less than a crystal clear message of this is exactly it, it's important in taking steps of faith that we know the character of God, that we understand who God is. That will help us tremendously. That we understand that God is our Father, that he loves us, that he has our best interest in mind, that if we're sincere and seeking to do the will of God, even if we venture out in the wrong direction, that God is faithful and he loves us enough to get us on the right course.
Here's a few words from Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl about this month's Back to Basics resource.
We had Christopher Ewan and his mother and father here at Calvary Chapel on this Sunday morning. It was so well received.
It was amazing. Christopher Ewan is a professor of Bible at Moody Bible Institute, and yet his story of coming to Christ is absolutely amazing.
And what's the name of his book?
The name of the book is Out of a Far Country, and it is subtitled A Gay Son's Journey to God, A Broken Mother's Search for Hope. And it's really the story of this family who are essentially atheist, but eventually they all come to faith in Jesus. And it is riveting. It is such a powerful, powerful story. And especially if you have friends, family members, or you're in contact with people and, you know, struggling with or questions about the homosexual lifestyle and all of that. This is a superb book written from somebody who is on the inside of the whole gay movement and yet has now come to know Christ in a powerful way. So highly recommend that you pick up Out of a Far Country.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order the book, Out of a Far Country, A Gay Son's Journey to God, and A Broken Mother's Search for Hope by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of the book Out of a Far Country, and then click on the Donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book by Christopher and Angela Ewan. We appreciate your generous support to this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.